What motivates people to do what they do?
He walks in the door and he immediately got this huge handprint across the side of his face and down his neck. The minute he was in, he wasn't in the front door 3 seconds of my house.
How do they inspire others and live their best life? You're about to find out all of that and more with Andy Brooks and her guests in her podcast, Under the Covers with Andy Brooks. In each episode, you'll go beneath the surface with Andy and a special guest to learn more about their lives. Thanks for getting cozy with us.
Some people believe in psychics, mediums, and their readings. Some people don't. The stories, however, are so incredibly fascinating. Psychic medium Lorianne lives in Appleton, Wisconsin, but has done work with so many people in and around the area. She connects to the other side without using any tools or props and has really brought closure to many people's lives and their stories and situations. I'm so excited to have you, psychic medium Lorianne, on my podcast Under the Covers with Andy Brooks. I can't wait to hear about all your stories. Let's just dig right into it. Did you know that you were a psychic or a medium at a young age? How did you figure this out?
Yes, I was like this when I was a child. Everybody asks that question. So yes, I was. However, as a child, I did not know what it was. I always knew as a teen and later in years that I was psychic. I always knew that, not knowing that that's the word they called it, however. But I just knew that I was different in the way that I knew things about people and I could predict things. And sometimes even when I was younger, I would predict world events and it would happen, things like that, where, you know, as a kid, you just see this stuff in your head and you just tell your parents about it. And the next thing you know, something major happens, like an earthquake or something that I talked about, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. So my parents kind of always knew I was different in that way. You know, I really didn't know that everybody didn't do that. So that as a kid, I always knew I was psychic. However, as a medium, all mediums are psychic. You don't get to have one without the other. So when I was 39 is when I figured out what a medium was. I'm 55 now. And when I was 39, I figured it out by listening to Hay House Radio. There's a medium on Hay House Radio. Happened to be cleaning my house, and she was just on. And so I got called in, got a little mini reading from her, called her back after the show, got a real reading from her. Then from there, I went down to Texas where she was and took a weekend class with her on mediumship, not even knowing what it really was. And at the end of that weekend, she kind of took me aside, and there was like 27 people in the class, and she said, "You're really different. You're like a real one. You're not trying to be one. You are one." And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Wow.
So then she, I didn't even know what it all meant, but so then she said, "You really should go to England to the place called the Arthur Findlay College. They train psychic mediums there. So all they do, the college was left by Arthur Findlay, who was a physicist, and he left it for the study of psychic science when he passed away. And so it's a castle, was his home. And I've been going there for 13 years now. So
that is crazy. I mean, so you knew like you had that feeling when you were younger. What were some signs?
When I was much younger, even if you go, the signs really don't change from being young to being 39 and starting to remember a lot. When I was 39, I heard my kids left home. I had them when I was really young and they left home. So I was by myself and I raised them on my own. So I was by myself and I would just hear, especially going to bed, I would hear conversations that weren't there. I'd hear music. I would hear two people talking, having conversations. And I'm just like, what? You know, what? You know, so then I was talking, my mom was still living at the time, and I asked her, I said, "Hey, you know, I'm starting to hear things, and is this what happens when kids leave home? Is that what they call empty nest?"
Yeah.
And she goes, "No, but you were always like that." And I'm like, "What do you mean I was always like that?" And she proceeded to tell me many stories of myself when I was a young child. I went to all-girls Catholic school, so I would be asked to leave often from what she told me because I would be telling the lunch ladies or children or teachers or whomever about these people that were next to them, standing next to them, etc. I don't remember that, but this is a story my mother shared with me. So then she said, "Well, you're what they call a medium." And I'm like, "What's a medium?" And it was just, that's where the whole thing started, really, is when I started hearing things and I would see shadow people, and everyone thinks that dark shadows are bad because television says so. Well, it's not bad at all. It's just a color.
Right.
And you can see white, you can see like a teal, you can see purple sometimes, you can see black and dark is very, very common, you know, but I would see these things all the time. Now that I'm working and have been working as a professional medium for a long time, I see a lot of that now, like more than I've ever seen before. So, I mean, the signs and symptoms of it are just usually really outside the box. You know, you're usually a very unique, eclectic personality. You generally feel like you don't fit in anywhere with anybody. but you don't know why. The thing is, you don't know why you're odd. You don't know even that you don't even understand that you seeing these things is the oddity. You don't even understand that. You just know you don't fit. You always feel like you don't fit. You're usually a very, very creative person. I'm an artist, but and being at the Arthur Findlay College in England, when you start meeting everyone who's like you, everyone who's a medium has an amazing sense of creativity because you're right brain, left brain.
Wow, so, that's interesting. Okay.
Yep. So, you know, and there's things like you have sensitive teeth, you have sensitive hair, sensitive skin, sensitive to medications, sensitive to the types of clothing you wear, not wanting your sheets tucked in at night. You don't like closed in small spaces. It's really hard to be in crowds of large people. It's okay when I'm on stage in front of them, but when I'm in them for like Country USA or something like that, I just can't handle it. It's like being a pinball in a pinball machine. Everything's just bouncing and I can't do it.
So I got a question. I know obviously you're not now maybe you weren't ever, but I can't watch scary movies. Like I get freaked out thinking about like haunted things. Were you ever afraid, like when you first started realizing things or hearing voices?
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely was like completely frightened of it. Yes. I mean, you know, one of the things that people don't realize is as a medium, you're still a human being. So, you know, there's a lot about mediumship. And even when I'm standing in front of people and I'm doing this, you're still in Justin is in awe. I am still in Justin is in awe of this as anybody who's standing or sitting in front of me. It never gets old. You're always surprised. You never know what the spirit world is going to say. You never know what's going to happen. And as far as fear, I'm not fearful when I'm working any longer, but I do work with Chicago Paranormal, and I'm actually going to be a big part of a Bowler North Star Casino. I've been up contracted with them for a couple of years now, and now we're doing a big, basically like an aliens and paranormal event out there. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that you'll meet that people can talk to at that event that will tell you all about the fear, what's real, what's not real, you know, what's it like to be me kind of thing. I'm actually doing a big talk on that out there, actually.
Wow, that's incredible.
In November.
I mean, this is a stupid, stupid question, but I just have to ask. Like, if you're at, you know, because you go into homes or parties. I know some of my girls have had, like, a party at a house, and you've gone in and you've done that work with them. You ever afraid, like, something will come back with you or follow you, like, home or anything?
I'm not afraid of that. No, I have had it happen, but a lot of times I don't even realize it happens. There was one time I came home, my husband's like, "You are so not you." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" You know, and he's just like, "Okay, time for a bath." So one way to get rid of something like that is to take a sea salt bath. You just stay in it a good 20 minutes, just relax, and then your gut or sea salt scrub shower, you can do that too, and that'll have them step back. But the two times that has happened to me, I didn't even realize that it was happening. My husband saw it way before I did.
He just realized your personality or the way you're acting wasn't you?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And he knows a lot about this. You know, he's always my film guy. He's him and several other people, our film crew. Anytime I'm doing a large event, they'll go with me. And he also does a lot of filming for the paranormal, Chicago Paranormal, so who I work with. So, and Chicago Police Department, I work with them too. And he's always doing filming and things like that. So he understands and knows a lot about what I do. And so he's very clear to watch when something like that might happen. So there was an investigation I did one time with Chicago Paranormal, and I came back and for 3 days I was just not myself. And I even recognized, I even knew. I was just like, okay, I don't know how to shake this. I don't know how to get rid of it. You know, I tried all the little tricks I knew and nothing worked. And finally, 3 days later, it was finally gone. But I went from being my normal bubbly me who loves people to super depressed, wouldn't come out of my room, just didn't want to eat, was just really in depth. And it was definitely something I picked up on an investigation. Wow. So yes, it can happen. It can happen.
Well, I mean, obviously that's probably a big job that you had, but could you explain one of the craziest readings or situations you've been in?
I have lots of those. It depends on when you use the word crazy, it depends on what you mean by that. Craziest one that I can remember so far is when I was working, doing an event like your friends have had, and I had this really not nice person come in from the spirit world. They weren't an entity in some crazy thing you show on TV. It was like just a guy who was not a nice person in real life, in human life. And he came in, and I felt him come in, and I was trying to ignore him because I could see him, and I was working with someone else from the spirit world at the time he came in, and I was trying to ignore him, and I could see where he was standing, and I could see him, and the feeling was just as if you would have if you meet someone that you just know you, for whatever reason, you just don't care for them. You can't explain it, but you just know. That's the feeling I had, and because I can see them like real people. They look like real people to me, but I know they're spirit people, and I could see him. And so when I finally got done wrapping up with the one I was, and I kind of described this gentleman, the lady looked over at me and she goes, "I don't want to talk to him." And as I kind of got in between the two of them, because I'm the medium, I got scratched from my wrist all the way up to my arm from the spirit person.
What?
And we just watched. Yeah, we watched it happen right in front of everybody. I was just as in awe of it as everyone else was. But that was probably the number one craziest thing ever in 15 years of doing this as a career. That was the craziest thing. And it didn't even hurt or anything. It burned. But, I mean, it was just like, that's the only thing that's ever happened to me in 15 years.
Everyone saw it.
And everybody saw it. All the people that I was standing in front of saw it happen at the same time. Because I talked with my hands a lot. And I didn't even notice it. And one of the ladies said, "Oh, my God, look at your arm." And I'm like, oh. And I knew it was that guy because he was just not a nice person. He was just angry. And, yeah, so that's the craziest thing I can say that happened thus far. Working with Chicago Paranormal, just as their medium, I mean, I've experienced lots of crazy things. But they're kind of crazy cool where you walk away from them going, whoa.
You know? Like, can you give an example?
Yeah, I could give an example of my house. I've worked with Chicago Paranormal probably 10 years now, and they were coming to do my house. We had just purchased this house 5 years ago, and we got here, and everybody, my husband always says, it's just you, because I'm a medium. So we're like, yeah, it's probably just me, all the stuff we were hearing and experiencing in my house. And we thought, well, it's just me. But then after a while, we were like, yeah, not so much. So we had Chicago Paranormal come, and I remember this is the same crew I've been working with for 5 years at the time, now 10 years. And Dave walks in the door, he's a Chicago police officer. He walks in the door and he immediately got this huge handprint across the side of his face and down his neck. The minute he wasn't in the front door 3 seconds of my house. And then we were like, I'm like, oh my God, Dave, look. And of course we take pictures, we film the whole thing because it started instantly. And then throughout the night, there were all kinds of things where from the downstairs of my downstairs, I have two living rooms, there's a one downstairs, and a piece of equipment, literally, we were all upstairs talking, sitting in the upstairs living room, and a piece of equipment got thrown from the downstairs up into the hallway, the foyer where you would walk in the door. And we all heard it. It dropped on the floor, and it was it was like a 6-inch by 6-inch piece of metal. It was at the top of a camera. It was tossed from downstairs, and there was no one here but us. We were all upstairs. So that was kind of crazy. I mean, that was just crazy right there.
And you still live in the house?
Yeah, I'm medium, so, you know.
Does your husband, does he get freaked out or no?
No, I get freaked out more than he does.
Really?
We'll hear full conversations. We'll be sitting on the couch just recently, and we'll hear a full conversation of two deep voices downstairs, and he gets up, and we're looking at each other, and we're like, we do investigations together, so we know it better when you hear something like that, you stop talking, you do hand signals, whatever, so you can hear everything that's happening. So because we work together as a paranormal crew for so long, we in our own house, we know to do that. So he went and I looked at him and we looked at each other like, oh my God, did you hear? It was like you and I talking. It was so loud. So we go downstairs. Of course, there's no one down there. And we look at each other like, what the, you know, it was just crazy. It was crazy. It was like, what? And we've heard lots. We've had lots of that done here. Lots of stuff in our house. But he just says, he'll say things like, well, you just got home from a gig. A gig is one of the things I do, or a large casino gig or whatever. Yeah. He's like, oh, you just got done. Or we'll get early arrivals before I'm going to work, usually it doesn't happen if I'm just going to my office to do readings. It usually happens if I'm doing a group where I'll have someone come in early. I'll be doing my makeup, getting ready to go or whatever, and I'll feel somebody come behind me, and I'll be like, oh, who are you? Just wait. Just wait till we get there, okay? Don't make me do this early.
Wow.
So as a medium, you never want to work on memory. Okay. You don't want to have them come in, tell you everything they're going to say to you, blah, blah, blah. Go to a party and then have to say, oh, by the way, I had this guy before. You never want that to happen. because it's, the messages aren't, they teach you in England to always, always, always make the spirit people wait. Never, never go, never work on memory.
So you do parties, you go to your office. I guess for those listening, like explain what you're capable of doing in case someone wants to reach out to you.
Well, I, you know, like any psychic medium, I do one-on-ones in my office. We also do, I have enough room in my office and at downtown Appleton to do groups at my office, whether you're a group of two, three, four, up to nine, I can do actually at my office. Most of the time I go to people's houses because they like to, you know, girls like to crack open the wine, have some stuff and have a medium on entertainment. So, you know, so I do one-on-one readings. I do group readings up to nine people. I also do social events for, like, you know, Humana, this, that, whatever, when they want to, whoever, you know, socially they want to, on a corporate level, they want to bring in entertainment. I do a lot of that as well. I also work with the casinos. I've contracted with North Star for quite some time. I'm working on another one in Vegas right now with my fingers crossed. That has not come through yet. So, yeah, I mean, and I also do psychic work as well. You know, so psychics are, when you're working as a medium, you're receiving information, like a radio station, okay, it's literally like that. When you're working as on the psychic side of things, you're working in a way of perception. You're perceiving information, okay? When I work with psychics, and a lot of psychics won't agree with what I'm going to say right now, but when you come to me for a psychic reading, I want you to ask me a million questions and tell me everything about what's going on with you and what it is you want to know. So the more I know, the more I can look in between of everything you're saying and give you much more clear, accurate information of in way of direction, where a lot of people will do the opposite. They don't want to know anything. They want to throw out some cards. They want to whatever, and they want to tell you what you want, what you need to know.
Sure.
I personally think that the more you tell me, the easier this is going to be for you. You're going to get much more accurate, detailed information, and you're getting exactly what you're paying for. You know, it's not a guessing game at that point. You know, it's not a guessing game, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I work very differently that way. I can't sit down and go, okay, what do you want to know? And then they go, shouldn't you know what I want to know? It's like, no, because you know why? I'm human, just like you.
Yeah.
I'm not a computer. I'm not a slot machine where you're going to like pull the little handle and see what happens. That's just not the way it works.
Right.
So, yeah, I do both psychic and mediumship, both of them.
Okay, now did this run in your family at all? Is that how it works or no?
Yes, it does run in my family. I did not know that my mom was a medium. Okay, I didn't know that my entire life. When she passed away, she was very supportive. As a strong Catholic lady, she was really supportive of my mediumship, which I thought was interesting. It was kind of oxymoron, you know, like what, huh? But she was really supportive. And then when she passed away, I had read for two of her girlfriends shortly thereafter my mom passed. And I, on both occasions, two different days, two different towns, the ladies responded when I was done. They said, oh, you read just like your mom used to. And I looked at them and I'm like, excuse me, what did you just say? And one of the, I don't remember the second lady's name, but the first lady's name was Wanda. And I said, what? What are you talking about? She said, oh, you didn't know your mom did those readings? And I said, no. What? And she says, oh, my goodness. She says, your mom used to go to the golf course and your dad would golf and all the ladies would come and she would throw tea leaves and she could read faces and she could read palms and she just did this for the ladies. For years, your mother did that. I'm like, huh? What?
Why do you think she didn't tell you?
The only honest answer I have for that is that I was, as a child, a very much a hardhead, even as a young adult. And I feel that she probably knew me better than I knew me, in the way that if she said that she had done that, I'd be like, oh, yeah, right. Of course she did. You know, just mother-daughter stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I think if she had said that to me, because I've asked myself that question many times, like, why would you not have told me that? However, when, you know, you really think about it, I know myself, and I probably would have been like that. So I'm sure she saved me from me once again.
I mean, what are your kids like? Do they know? I'm assuming they know. And what do they think?
Yep. My son is 35 years old. He lives in Salt Lake City, Utah. My daughter is 33. She's been married 13 years. I have two granddaughters. One of her daughters is extremely talented like me. They do let me teach her, which is wonderful. They both know what I do. My daughter actually works for me. So she does all my appointments. She does all everything. She does all my microphones. She does all everything that when you do a large event, she's always there. So my daughter, it's interesting because she didn't really know what to think of it for years. And then until she went to one of my casino events, and you know, when you go there, you have to stand up, somebody brings you a microphone. Well, she was always the person that would bring you the microphone. And she had never really, the first time she ever did that for me, I had to say, can you bring the microphone over? Because she was in the corner crying, you know, over what was happening. Yeah. So she now, after having experienced it herself firsthand and watching my work, she was just like, wow, you can actually help people. You help so many people. And I'm like, exactly. So she thinks it's amazing, you know. And my son, he's just Julius. I mean, he just goes with the flow, dude, anyway, no matter what. So, and he loves his mama. So he's just like, okay, that's what she does. I don't get it, but okay. So
that's so cool. I think there's probably a special bond. Like, I don't know. Do you ever read them ever or tell them about things that you're hearing or seeing?
Sometimes. But you have to be careful. And then all psychic mediums would probably agree with this. The closer you are to someone, the less accurate your information will be because you really want things for them. You know, you love them, you care about them, even with best friends and girlfriends that you get to know. The more you get to know them, the less you can tell them what's going on, because unless it's mediumship, then you can, of course, because that's never up to you. That's up to the spirit world. Mm. But on the psychic side of things, the more you know someone, the closer you get to them, the less you can read for them, just the way it is.
So interesting. I feel like I could chat with you forever. Thank you so much, Lorianne, for taking us into your world and sharing your stories with us.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. And make sure you go under the covers with Andy Brooks next week.
In the next episode of Under the Covers with Andy Brooks, you're going to hear from a former Denver Bronco, was the nation's top running back when he played at UW, and is now making his comeback. Monte Ball.
I always associated my identity with football. And understanding that it was over, I kind of felt like I was over. You know, my drinking increased and I took that out on someone else who most definitely didn't deserve it.
Episode 7 with Monte Ball is inspiring and motivating and something you're definitely going to want to hear. You know, and if you enjoyed the last episode of Under the Covers with Andy Brooks, please be sure to subscribe now if you haven't already, so you'll get every episode, and share it with your friends if you think they might like it too. You can find Under the Covers with Andy Brooks under Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and today's Q106 mobile app. Thanks.